Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
No party pump here, baby. This is all natural on the Chad Benson Show. I was just reading this. Obama, starting immediately, has got rid of the wet foot, dry foot policy. If you don't know what that is, Cubans who escape the tyranny of the sweet government they have over here, the minute they get to land in America, essentially they can apply for asylum, become citizens. He's now made sure that that is gone immediately, right now. The decision follows months of negotiations focused in part on getting Cuba to agree to take back people who arrived in the U.S. What do you think's going to happen when those people go back to Cuba? I'm just curious. These are the things that make you scratch your head. Again, of all the people who, but this has been, it's temporary. You don't think that the guy that's rolling in there in what, 8 days time isn't going to roll this thing back? But it's just the thought process of why you would do this. You're willing to bring people here from around the world who want to do us harm and damage, not all of them, a small portion of them, but you're willing to take that chance. Yet somebody who takes over a refrigerator, right, and him and his four buddies and their mom get in it and they try to get their ass over here. And Anthony and I were talking about it. He says, well, you know, a lot of people die doing it. Yeah, they're going to die anyways, right? I mean, you want to get the – if I have never in my life, right, I respect people like this. You know what? I respect illegal immigrants. Well, Chad, how can he die? Well, I'll tell you why. If you're willing to travel as far as some of these people are to come here to get away from the hell and the poverty and all of that stuff, I'm going to give you some respect, right? Put yourself in their shoes. If you're willing to board a homemade boat with you and 10 of your buddies, right, trying to escape tyranny and evil to get the hell out of somewhere, going through what is a very dangerous stretch of water where the weather changes on a dime, it's shark-infested with bull sharks and everything else, and you're willing to do that, mad props. People are different states. They can't get a job. Well, go. They're not here. Got to go somewhere else. Look for it. Go where the work is. Nah, I'm not going to stay here. Wait till it comes back. That's your own damn fault. That's your own damn fault. That ain't my fault. Mad props to people who do that. And I'll get the text message. You're horrible. Illegal immigration's bad. Look, I didn't say what they were doing wasn't something, you know, that we should all praise. But what I'm saying is you can have respect for people for wanting to do that. And this is another one of those things where are you coddling up to him? This is the perception is reality thing. And what, no matter what negotiations you think you're having with them, and the Cubans are like, no, no, you bring them back. It's going to be okay. We'll take care of them. And yeah, of course, they're going to take care of their asses. They're going to be ostracized, as Anthony put it. Some of them are going to be put in prison. Some of them, they're not leaving because they had it so good on an island. They weren't coming over here to get parts for their 1955 cars. They were escaping because it was hopeless. This spits in the face of people who scream and yell that they want freedom. I don't know. I'm sorry. You know, I I agree that we have to reach out to some of our enemies to have some sort of dialogue or people that we... You know, we need to do that. We do. But there's also a point in time that, you know what? We say, look, you guys live your life, we'll live ours. And if your people show up here and the way that you treat them, they want to be citizens of the United States, we're going to allow that to happen. We are. And that has been something that has been, you know, I mean, wet foot, dry foot. That's what it is. The minute you get here, boom, it's asylum, and then you're on your way to this. And yet we've got people coming in from Mexico, from El Salvador, from Honduras, from Guatemala, from South America, from all over, and they skip through here. So now we're going to essentially turn around. We're agreeing to turn around people who we know we're sending to a place that political dissidents, people who give any grief to the government, are put away in prison, their families are belittled, they're ostracized, and then sometimes tortured, and we're willing to do that? What does that say? What does that say about us? Look, I am, You listen to my show, you get no more of a fair, balanced look at every side of anything. Period. Case closed. Although today I was accused for being alt-right. But you get no... The balance that I give is tremendous. But I will tell you this. I will give criticism, and this is a criticism. This is the crap that when we look back on his legacy, these are the things where you scratch your head. These things. I'm all for opening up dialogue. I'm all for getting ourselves into a situation where we can somewhat befriend Cuba. Hell, you know what? I mean, I get that. I understand why we do something like that. But we take it, you know, it's so funny the way we deal with Iran and the way we deal with Cuba. You want to know why you didn't win Florida? You want to know why you struggled in certain places? Let me tell you why. A lot of Cuban dissidents there. A lot of people that left Cuba. A lot of relatives. A lot of third and fourth generation who escaped. These are the things that make you scratch your head. This right here. This makes you scratch your head. We need to stop nation building, but we also need to understand that people come here for a certain reason. Some of them is to escape tyranny and evil. It is. It is. You don't think people that would love to go back to Cuba and live their lives if they knew freedom was there? You don't think that would happen? They would love to, but they've escaped and they've made America the place they've come. And this to me is a very bizarre situation, but these are some of the things I think you're going to see over the next, you know, 8 days. It is. And by the way, is it me or is he? He has that feel that it's the last week of school and you got nothing to do and you're counting down the days. You know, you're watching a movie in the classroom and you're throwing a party and you know, you're not. He's got that feel that like, it's senior ditch day. That's what it feels like. Giving out awards today. Gave Biden an award, right? Gave it with the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award, which Biden's speech I thought was very touching. I think Biden's a genuine guy. You got to like that guy. That guy's genuine. You want to know here's something strange? That for a little while, I don't know, 12 hours or so, and this is kind of odd, but we were talking about this, Pence gets sworn in first. So for a little while, the Vice President of the United States will be Mike Pence, and the President will be Barack Obama. Isn't that odd? You think it'd be the other way around. Like, this is just show. We already swore Trump in earlier, you know, the show kind of thing. Find it to be kind of bizarre. Bizarre, people, bizarre. Happy Thursday. That was a rant there on Cuba. I just find that so weird. So weird. We're willing to you know, I mean, it's just, it's so weird. I mean, I'm wet foot, dry foot, I get the whole thing. And, you know, yes, it was 95 when there was a revision policy by Clinton. But, you know, look, it's people are escaping, right? People are escaping. And I think these are one of these things. These are legacy moves. But when you're negotiating to send people back, what do you think is going to happen to those people, right? This isn't Ilian Gonzalez who comes back to fanfare and is used as propaganda. These are people who are going back there who know exactly what's going to happen to them. They understand what's potentially going to take place. They get what's coming. Sad, sad. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You can also call the show, 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Producer Phil, is that guy still on hold?
No, he left.
Oh, that was fantastic. You can email the show, chat@chadbensonshow.com. 1 in 3 of you know this. What is this? Well, these are cabinet folk. We'll talk about that and so much more. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
I love me some zombie. Happy birthday. 52-year-old Rob Zombie is his birthday today. Let's see if we got a little dig to the witches burning there. 52 years old. People are like, who the hell is Rob Zombie, Chad? I'll tell you. There's a guy you could get. There's another one we could get to play this thing. Still nobody wants to play it, by the way. Still not getting there is what I'm hearing. Still not getting there. Not going to happen. Not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Would be prudent to play that thing. One out of three y'all Americans don't know this. Couldn't pick one out. Well, what is it, Chad? Oh, let me tell you right now, kids. One out of three of you couldn't pick one out. And by that, I mean out of a lineup. His cabinet choices. His being the president. This just goes to show you what I have said from day one. Politics means something, kind of, but not really. We overanalyze it. We argue about it. We fight about it. We scream about it. We do all kinds of things about it. We debate it. We do so many different things. But in the overall scheme of things, it is what it is, which is it's politics, and we barely pay attention to it. Barely. I don't know too many people who can. In fact, I was a little bit more surprised that one out of three people can pick out a cabinet member. But over the last couple days, I have asked people on numerous occasions, do you know who so-and-so is? Do you know who such-and-such is? Whether it be Tillerson or, you know, I mean, Pompeo, or whether it be Jeff Sessions or some... Mad Dog Mattis. And Mattis, if you say Mattis, Mad Dog, they're like, well, that sounds like somebody that's done. Like, people don't get it. They're not understanding it. And by that, I mean people in the political world. They think the world revolves around them. When we all know in this day and age, your world revolves around you. This is the new Pew Research poll. The funny thing is, while some people can name people, meaning they'll say, okay, you know what? I can name somebody inside of the cabinet. I recognize Jeff Sessions or somebody, but they can't tell you what they're doing. They can't tell you who they are. They can just tell you what it's about. Like, I know that guy because I know he's hung out with Trump. Because the world is what it is. The world is whatever you make it. Right? It's whatever you make. Politics plays a very small point. I was reading an article a little while ago today, and this goes to show you that more than half of America can't afford $500. Meaning, if something happened today and you couldn't get it on credit, you can't afford to fix it. How many of you out there, you could text the show, 323-538-2423. You can email it or tweet at me, at Chad Benson Show. You can call it if you want, 844-DIG-CHAD. But how many of you out there, if you had a car issue, if your transmission went out, if you needed four new tires because they were, you can't go any further, if whatever it is, you know, you got to go to the emergency room. How many of you out there would be in real trouble? A good portion of America. And when Obama and Hillary and them wonder why they lost the election, and they try to blame it on the Russians, or they try to blame it on whatever it is that they try to blame it on. The truth is, they lost it because people are still struggling, living paycheck to paycheck, and they don't feel it's gotten any better, and they see other people pulling away from them. And what they don't realize is all of us in some way, shape, or form are living paycheck to paycheck or credit card to credit card. We're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and we shot Paul so we can take his money and give it back to Peter. That's where we're at. That's why one in three Americans can pick out any one of these yahoos. What do I say all the time? It doesn't matter who it is. We can talk about the politics of it all, but it doesn't matter who it is. Some of the stuff they're saying is interesting, but in a lot of ways, it really doesn't matter who it is. It's good to talk about it, but you got to go back to your job. It's good to discuss it, but you got a soccer game tonight for your kids. It's good. These are all things that, yeah, again, how many of you out there would struggle right now? If you needed money, who are you going to if you can't get it? If you were struggling right now and you got a phone call that your car, you thought it was, you know, it was going to be something quick and it's going to be $575 to fix, or it's going to be $1,100 if your landlord comes to you and says, you know what, we're you got 30 days to move because we decided we're going to move back in the house or we're selling the house. And you, how many of you could come up with the deposit for a new place? These are real issues that affected America. Trump talked about those things. Your world revolves around you. Every time he spoke, you had that feeling that maybe he was talking at me. Maybe he's talking at me. And when people throw up this craziness about a lot of, Trump, look, I understand there's some wackiness that's around Trump. It's everywhere around Trump. It's surreal. It is at times, you wonder how serious he takes it. You wonder if he's a wolf in sheep's clothing and he's playing us all for stupid, but really he's brilliant. There's a lot of things that are around him. But when he spoke about jobs and we spoke about the economy, we spoke about those things, these are the things that matter to us. They so matter. We touch upon it pretty much every day, which I think is good. And I get text messages and emails from people that will tell me, you know what, Chad, dude, you're spot on. I get it. I struggle. You know, we all struggle. We struggle. And every one of us out there has either been there or is still there. And a good majority of America struggled with that. And they thought, you know what, I've spent 8 years this has nothing to do with race. This has nothing to do with gender. This has nothing to do with marriage equality or any of these things. This has all to do with the fact that I'm sick of living paycheck to paycheck. And if this guy, in some way, shape, or form, can give a shot in the arm where I can get myself where, you know what, I could save a portion of my paycheck and in a couple months, I'm not struggling and I'm not worrying about tomorrow, then, hey, let's give him a shot. Interesting indeed. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. A cool guy's doing except Mark Hemingway. He's from the Weekly Standard, one of the cool places you can go. Somebody asked me last night, who do you go to for news? I said, well, this is one of the places I go for reputable, realistic news. You know, they give you a good scoop that's not baloney. He's going to join us to talk about this weird thing with Donald Trump. How did this thing come about? Who was shopping it? And who was behind it all? Wait till you hear this about a company called Fusion GPS and how they were behind a lot of different things. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Mark Hemingway, Weekly Standard, joins us next. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. Sorted indeed. This whole thing that half-assed broke the other night about Donald Trump in weird relations with Russian sex workers and God knows what else. Where did it come from? Why are we getting it now? Joining us now from the Weekly Standard, Mark Hemingway. He's got a great article about the sordid history of the firm behind the Trump-Russian dossier. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well.
All right. First and foremost, how does something like this get through everybody and get to somebody?
That is a really good question because, you know, the most interesting thing about this is sort of the chain of custody. So far, what we know is that sometime last fall, according to, I think, British intelligence sources told the BBC that people connected to a Jeb Bush super PAC hired a group in Washington, D.C. called Fusion GPS to put together this dossier on Trump, and they in turn hired this ex-British spook to do a lot of the damning intelligence reports that have now subsequently blown up in both CNN and BuzzFeed's face.
It's odd that it did blow up in their face, but, you know, when I was reading your article, this Fusion GPS is – are they – first of all, explain to everybody who they are and what they do.
Yeah, so that's a good question. They are one of these sort of like shadowy political operative firms that exist in Washington, D.C. They were founded by a guy named Glenn Simpson, who for years was an investigative reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's kind of a colorful history there when he was still a legitimate journalist. But anyway, he started this organization, I believe it was in 2009. And ever since then, they've been sort of doing opposition research for hire. The reason why when the New York Times reported last night that Fusion GPS had put together the report that jumped out at me was because in 2012, the Wall Street Journal, ironically enough, and specifically their columnist Kim Strassel, had done some blockbuster reporting on this Fusion GPS firm because they were running around harassing Romney donors and donors to socially conservative causes. They were like digging into Republican donors' divorce records and doing all these underhanded things. Then later on in 2015, I had written about this, you know, 2 years ago when Planned Parenthood got stung in that video sting that apparently showed members of Planned Parenthood trafficking in organs from fetal body parts. They had hired Fusion GPS to do this forensic report saying that the video sting was manipulated and that they had doctored the video and all these other things. That whole report is basically bogus if you look at the specific details, the caveats within the report, and the subsequent evidence unearthed by congressional investigations. But it's pretty clear that this organization is basically, if you need, you know, some sort of black bag work in Washington, you need an opponent smeared, you hire these guys, and they do it for, I presume, a handsome price.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not cheap. Talking to Mark Hemingway from the Weekly Standard. You know, Mark, you talk about these guys, and they're mercenaries. They don't seem to – there is no side they really seem to care about. They care about the green. It reminds me of having, like, the mercenaries in the 70s that would go, you know, soldier for hire. These
right.
guys seem to be just the same thing, except they do it on the political battlefield.
Well, but it's interesting you characterize it that way because – one of the most interesting aspects of this is that it was, you know, this is a firm that's typically associated with Democratic and progressive causes, and that they would be hired by people connected to Jeb Bush is really unusual. In Washington, you know, there's a lot of political operative firms, but they tend to sort of stay on their side of the aisle. I mean, it makes sense, which is to say that if you hire somebody to do opposition research on a candidate you're running against, you know, the way the D.C. works, who knows, you might be supporting that guy in the next election cycle. So you don't want to, you know, sort of poison the well too much. You tend to want to stick to people that are sympathetic to your political viewpoint. So it was really unprecedented that the Jeb Bush people would, you know, go to a firm that's primarily a Democratic one. And the founder of this firm has a history of going after conservative causes and conservative donors going back to – he wrote a book in the 90s where he went after the Christian Coalition, basically accusing them of electioneering and all sorts of other – you know, shady things that they were allegedly doing. And a lot of his evidence was cited by the Federal Election Commission in the Clinton administration. And they spent years going after the Christian Coalition and to not much avail. But the other interesting thing about that is that the FEC's crusade against the Christian Coalition was led by one Lois Lerner, the woman who was also at the center of the IRS scandal some, you know, I guess 13 years later. So this guy has a long history of harassing conservative groups, and it seems to be something he really wants to do.
Turnabout's fair play. You're in politics and you're out there doing stuff like this. And I look at somebody like Donald Trump and I what I know about people who are uber successful and have a ton of money is they have a very long memory. Is there any repercussions for these kind of things? Because you would start to think if you're spreading stuff and you're going after people, the repercussions are out there, whether it be politically, they do something politically, but which probably won't happen. But I mean, I don't think that Donald's going to sit around and take this lightly.
No, I don't think so, too. And pretty soon he'll have the levers of power where he can, you know, go in there and start cleaning house and, you know, turning over desks until he finds out who the person behind this was. Because what happened here is it's not – this dossier had been circulating among journalists for months and, you know, long before the election even, and no one had printed anything related to it because it simply wasn't credible. And indeed, we've seen a lot of the details turn out to be unverifiable since it has become public. But what happened is somewhere along the way recently, someone in the intelligence community, probably someone of some importance, obviously put their seal of approval on this, and that was enough to make CNN and BuzzFeed go out on a limb. The other point I would make is that we don't know whether or not Fusion GPS was in fact the people pushing it still this time around. You know, we also need to ask ourselves you know, we know of a few disinformation campaigns now that Fusion GPS has been involved in. We know that they're doing underhanded work. We have to wonder what other news stories that these guys have been involved in pushing over the last couple of years, and whether or not we've been fed a pile of garbage, as Trump called BuzzFeed, on other stories from these guys as well.
Well, you know, and if I was Trump, I'd call him too. I mean, you know, you're out there saying stuff like golden showers and all kinds of crazy stuff like this, and really, you know, and embarrassing the hell of you. I call it as I see it as well. As we talked to Mark Hemingway from the Weekly Standard, Mark, as a person who's a reporter and a writer yourself, you look at stuff like this and know things are shopped out there. Is it difficult now because of the propaganda news? I don't call it fake news. I don't know if you agree with me or not. I call it propaganda because it's a pushing an agenda. The Onion is fake news. To this, I find this to be propaganda. Is it tough for you now when you look at how much due diligence do you have to go over and over again and double, triple check at this point in time?
Well, it is certainly true that your duties as a citizen are now drastically elevated. I mean, it's not enough to just, you know, read the papers and stay, quote, informed. Now you have to be a professional news consumer, it seems like, to have an idea of who are reliable reporters and sources within individual publications and know what the bent of particular publications is and what they've done lately and all these other things to parse accurate information. And it's a terrifying state of affairs to be in, which is why it's so bizarre to see CNN and BuzzFeed have done this. I mean, it's like watching, you know, them commit suicide in real time. I mean, already the media credibility was in the toilet, and they're coming out with this stuff. And frankly, I'm terrified about this. I think that that all politicians, all people in power need to be held accountable, and that is very, very hard to do when the media are out there are so partisan that they're willing to just, you know, light their credibility on fire because they think there will be something in the short term to be gained by destroying the reputation of, you know, whoever's in power. And it's really, again, terrifying.
You know, you talk about it. That, you know, it's we need a strong media. We need an unbiased media, which we don't get anymore. Because I look at journalists, especially a younger version of journalism, and it's changed from the Walter Cronkite days and days like that, where, you know what, they may have leaned one way or another, but you would have never known. They were there to report the news. They were going to let you decide, and now they're all activists. But you look at this now. It's also a business, and I think we forget that. Everybody's viewing for clicks and views. And anymore, is it even wrong? Who cares if you're wrong? As long as you're the first one to something and people are paying attention, is the way I look at it. Is that wrong of me?
No, I think that's certainly part of it. I mean, people are chasing clicks, and the way the business models work, you know, it's just about, you know, making a splash and attracting attention and eyeballs, and you know, that is an unfortunate aspect of the business. But, you know, the other thing we have to keep in mind here, though, is that journalism is just an important institution in this country, and there are other institutions in this country that are already falling apart. I mean, like I said, the intelligence community has their stamp of approval on this, whether they like it or not now. And, you know, this is, again, you know, yet another important institution we depend upon that, you know, is sacrificing its credibility on the altar of politics. And just down the line, we see this happening, you know, at all levels of government and at all levels of public life, and it is really, really scary. We need to have authority and experts and people that we can trust looking out for us. And right now, I don't think that anyone in this country feels good about where we are in that regard. And frankly, the ironic thing is this is how we ended up with Trump. Americans felt that the media was bullying them, didn't care about their way of life, didn't care about their values. And in particular, it was a bunch of East Coast media elite types that were ramming an agenda down their throat, whether they wanted it or not. And Trump was the first guy to stand up and say, you know what, the media has been weaponized, this is not fair, and I'm going to be the guy that fights back. So the more that the media engage in these unfair attacks against Trump, the more that it's going to prove that people were right all along, that the media is out to get them, and the more that they should support Trump. And if that's what the media wants, I don't think that's what it is. They should do some. They should think about doing, you know, the right thing here and doing their jobs.
Yeah. Last question. I'll let you go. Mark Hemingway from the Weekly Standard joins us. You look forward a year from now. Trump's been in office. Obviously, he'll have his ups and downs and the whole nine yards. But on the journalistic side of things, what's the year going to be like with Trump? Because he doesn't. This isn't. You know, the media seemed to love Obama. Obama used the media. This is going to be a much more antagonistic, fighting kind of situation between the two. And I think we're going to get him calling a lot of people out on the floor for stuff. Do you think it's going to be a battle more than it is a partnership?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's already proven that way. But, you know, the question is, like I said, is how does the media benefit from this? How does America benefit from this? Because, like, so far, I mean, we've seen, you know, the media turn everything up to 11 since Trump got elected. And it was bad enough during the election. You know, there's no nominee that Trump can pick that isn't, you know, deeply problematic. There's no thing that Trump can speak about or tweet about that isn't an issue for them that you know, that rises to the level of a constitutional crisis. There are plenty of legitimate things to criticize about Donald Trump. I mean, there are very serious issues, his conflicts of interest. You know, there certainly are even important questions we need to get the bottom of involving his relationship with Russia and that of his advisors and the people that he wants to join his government. So it would be nice if we could get to the bottom of these issues in a non-histrionic way to know exactly what we're dealing with and to hold him accountable. But so long as the media screams bloody murder about everything, no one's going to ever assume that a crime is actually being committed.
Fantastic. His name is Mark Hemingway. Great writer. He's at the Weekly Standard, one of those few places you can go anymore and I think find legit news where people actually do their homework, and you're thinking to yourself, do I have to go triple check this somewhere because it may be baloney? Thanks so much for taking time with us today, man. Great, great job on this.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
It is raining here. This is a great interview. Check out his article, Weekly Standard. Again, one of the very few things that I look at. There, somebody asked me last night, who do you go to? I go to a lot of different places, and I try to double, triple check stuff. Because not every article is the same, even though it may be written about the same. There may be some other stuff in there. But you got to look at some places like Reuters, the AP, where it's reporting's being done and you're getting part of a story and then you can investigate. You can't just go to one place anymore if you're serious. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. That's the call line. Mike, Callie, what's going on?
Hey, Chad, good interview. I agree with you. I'd like to take a slightly contrary view or opposite view and say that it was a great thing that BuzzFeed published this dossier, if you want to call it that. And the reason is this. Since last August, this thing has been sitting in the background. Somebody gave it to the intelligence agencies back in August, and it's been circulating around town back there. And it, I would tell you, is the thing that has been driving all of this Russia coverage. Because those people in the various circles thought this was true. And so, geez, we have to find the Russian connection. We've got to prove that it was the Russians who hacked it. And we have to prove that Putin approved this, because we know this other data that they've got the goods on Donald Trump. So it was acting as a sub rosa thing floating there that drove all of this. So to get it out, get it knocked down and exposed as baloney, I think is actually a very good thing, and is going to, I think you're going to see a lot of this hysteria kind of die down somewhat.
Well, you know what? If you're Trump, this just gave you the strength and the backing that, look, all this media that doesn't like me is completely against me. And by the way, today, both Obama and Vice President Biden came out and said that they both knew about this. Everybody knew about this. The media kind of knew it. It was just who was going to take that jump. And when somebody did, they did. But what it did do was it solidified him as that anti-hero against this big corporation of news that's out to get him. And they are going to have to. Now everybody is going to look at them with that kind of like, even if there's truth inside of stuff that Trump has done wrong or we have questions about, people, it has taken the sting out of how truthful is it. People will have that kind of like, now I really don't trust you because you've lied before. It's crazy. Appreciate your call, man. Thanks so much. Stay dry out there because it's raining here. I didn't even know what this is. We're going to go out and take pictures of it. I'm going to run. I worked out today, so I'm now completely fit. I've done my one-day workout for the year. And by the way, I'm sitting there. I go and I ran a mile and I swam a half a mile and I did some weights. And I took my shower and I'm getting dressed and I'm walking out. And if I was sitting there talking to this guy earlier when we were working out, and he, you know, he's like, he goes, I need this, but I feel like I need to go home and take a nap. I said, you know what's funny about working out is that we can make excuses for anything, right? Like the excuse to go work out is I can't, you know, I'll feel better, I'll do this, that, and the other. But the I can come up with 5,000 excuses of why I don't want to work out. And there was a guy, he had to be 85 or 90. He was rocking the treadmill with his walker next to it. And I thought to myself, if you can't get your ass out there to work out for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, then I don't know. I mean, you know, it's and again, I have been a huge flounderer the last 2 or 3 months of not working out the way I used to. I was surprised. I thought I was going to pass out. I thought, okay, I'm going to go for a run on this thing, and who knows what may happen to me. But, you know, in for a run, and I felt okay. And I think, again, a lot of that is because for 30 years, I did train myself to be somewhat in shape. So I still think I've got muscle memory for that. But, man, you know, like, there's no excuses. There is no excuses. It's not it's weird. There's absolutely zero excuses. And I was just looking at that guy thinking to myself, I hope when I'm 90 or whatever he is, he's probably only like 32. He just probably smokes or something. But I'm hoping I'm 90 that, like, I'm doing that. You know? Like, I'm going to be like, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to go for a, you know. He's got his walker right next to it. And he's just puttering along. Man, that's great. What a great thing. Keeping his mind sharp, I'm sure. Either that or he probably thought he was at the laundromat. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON. Text the show, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.